Well, today we celebrate the remarkable transformation that once took place in the appearance of Jesus of Nazareth. Three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all mention the transfiguration in detail. And the question is asked, why did the event take place? And it's a very good question. In order for us to answer that question, we need to look at a few events that took place before today's Holy Gospel, when an event took place and a question was raised to the apostles. And it's one that they asked themselves too, about just who they thought Jesus really was. As a matter of fact, this question comes up three times. Jesus has just walked on the water and calmed a raging storm. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, the disciples ask the question, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. In Luke chapter 9, verses 7 to 9, Jesus and his disciples have been out among the people performing marvelous miracles, driving out demons and curing the sick. And all this comes to the attention of the local ruler named Herod the Tetrarch. Well, St. Luke records Herod saying, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear about such things about? This ruler killed John the Baptist, but doesn't know who Jesus is. Let me tell you, he'll find out soon. And then in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, and also in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 20, Jesus is at a place called Caesarea Philippi, alone with his disciples at prayer, and he asks them this question, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. What about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, 6 days later, then this last question, Jesus would take his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, to a high mountain nearby. I believe it was Mount Hermon, an awesomely high mountain near the Lebanese and Syrian border that at this time of year is snow-peaked. You know, it does snow in Israel. This mountain can be seen right from the site of Caesarea Philippi, and it makes sense that they would go there. See, on the top of that mountain, Jesus was transfigured. The Greek word is metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. With this change or transfiguration, Jesus' face shone so bright and in a very similar way to that Moses' face shone after he'd been in the presence of Almighty God. And Moses had to wear a veil on his face because it upset his people that his face was so bright. The white garments described in our Holy Gospel reading suggest a pure heavenly being, white as light. And that makes sense. Jesus was there on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. Elijah symbolized the prophets, those who speak on God's behalf, who was expected to come before the Christ, according to Scripture, the Messiah, to prepare the way for him. Moses represented the law, since he was the deliverer of God's law and also the deliverer of God's people from enslavement in Egypt. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and he even told people that. Jesus did everything and more than what was required by the Messiah of the Old Testament law. He acted as the ultimate prophet or spokesperson of God. Jesus did not make the Old Testament as something irrelevant, but he fulfills its promises, each and every one of them. He carries in the New Testament as a new way to God. And he also brings in an era when God's law is written on people's hearts, as he was prophesied by Jeremiah over 600 years before Jesus was born. Listen to these words from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 33. God said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Written law was very useful, and it was God-given. But something more was needed. God would have to change his people from the inside out. A transformational change, putting his law into their hearts through his Holy Spirit. On that mountain that day, a new era was on the horizon for God's people. The old covenant represented by Moses and Elijah was going to pass away, and the new covenant was coming through works of our Lord and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This new covenant of the relationship with Jesus and the partaking in that new covenant through his body and blood is the most precious gift that we, believers of who Jesus is, have been given and will receive just a few minutes from now. And then something even more amazing happened. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." A voice from the cloud makes an amazing statement on its own, suggesting it's the glory and presence of the Ancient of Days, God the Father. In the Old Testament, God led the Israelites out of Egypt by a cloud. Then there was the proclamation spoken by God at Jesus' baptism, like the transforming experiences of Moses and Elijah on a mountain, Jesus receives heavenly confirmation of his special role in God's purpose for his people. That day, on that mountain, Jesus is revealed to Peter, James, and John without a doubt as the Son of God. We're given the opportunity to more fully understand the close, loving relationship that Jesus has with God the Father. The words, "listen to him," backs up the words of Jesus about his coming crucifixion. The words of God also show that Jesus is superior to all that have gone before him, even the greats of Jewish faith, like Moses and Elijah. One of those who were present that day at this amazing experience had something to write about it. Peter wrote what he witnessed was true. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were witnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. He said that it happened, and we should listen to him. He put it all together for us. For what he witnessed that day, and what he witnessed after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, were true eyewitness accounts. Seeing what they saw and hearing what they saw that day on that mountain must have been absolutely amazing. They probably felt that they wanted to share this with the world, but Jesus had other thoughts. As they fell to their faces, Jesus told them to fear not. As they were coming down the mountain, today's gospel says, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Of course, they obeyed Jesus, but had many questions. The disciples asked him, "Why then did the teachers of law say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come." And they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood what he was talking to them about. John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. And what happened to him? God's plan was being laid out right before them. I can't help but think of Herod the Tetrarch's words inquiring who Jesus is. "I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about?" Which then I thought about this meeting, Jesus, after he was arrested and Jesus was sent to him by the high priest. Listen to these words from the Gospel of Luke. "When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer." That's from Luke 23, verses 8 and 9. Jesus didn't need to answer any of his pagan questions, for in just days the world would know that the Son of God had risen from the dead and fulfilling the promises of long ago about the Messiah from the Scriptures. God the Father said it all when he told the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. To me, my brothers and sisters, it makes perfect sense to make sure that we follow those instructions that he spoke, that God spoke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.